I think social media is great.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
thinking about getting on there?
Yeah. I use Twitter. I have a Twitter account specifically for porn.
Yeah.
Where I just kind of like follow a bunch of porn accounts and stuff. But it still pushes. Many such cases. It still pushes kind of public, like just like random For You pages on my thing, like on my feed.
Yeah, of course.
And it is the world's. I get caught scrolling Instagram a lot, and it's the same thing where it is the world's most stupid rage bait post.
Yes.
With
Instagram has
chat GPT
wild with rage bait.
With a chat GPT description of the video that is just, it's so nothing. It's the most flavorless, bland shit, and I just keep scrolling it, and I don't know why. And this is an illness.
Yeah, that's an illness, huh?
It's an illness.
Because
I get so worked up.
Yeah.
I get... I'm calling, like, I'm on the phone with people and scrolling, and they're like, what are you up to? It's like, I'm scrolling Instagram, getting pissed off, and they're always like, stop doing it then.
Stop
get
doing
off,
that.
Get off of Instagram if it's pissing you off this much.
Well, I don't
post there, but yeah.
Yeah, but I know that is why I'm not active on Threads, because I know from every time that I have looked there that trying to exist in that environment, I would become like a zombie for rage. Like, I know myself well enough that I can get rage trapped. Like, like I can.
Yeah.
I absolutely have that weakness. And I see it. And then the thing that solves it for me is that because I'm not living there and I'm not enmeshed in it, when I do like stumble into Threads and I see my peers like, like commenting on obvious rage bait. And because I am lucky enough to not have currently gotten trapped in it,
yeah,
I have the third eye ability to see how cringe and awful that is, and I'm just like, oh nope, if I stay here I'll be just like them. No, if I stay here I will if I stay in this space I will get trapped and I will be arguing about,
yeah. It's kind
JK
of like
Rowling.
The anti,
yeah.
It's kind of like the anti Hallmark movie. You like go to the small town and you're like, this place fucking sucks. Actually, if
yeah,
I stay
I'm
here,
like,
I'm gonna
oh
get trapped and die.
No, actually,
this is
no,
what
you
all do.
You should have
all day.
A hospital and not a quaint little doctor's office. yeah. No.
It's cute this guy knows how to fix a bone, but there were 4 cases of typhoid last year,
yeah,
and everyone died from it.
It's so nice that his mom makes home cooked pies, but she's also a Confederate, and like we should have some perspective.
Listen, I will never. Her cookies are the best in the world, and I'll never deny it. But they
Who
are
could
all
deny it. They're such yeah, great cookies.
It's so great, but unfortunately, the oatmeal raisins are all in the shape of the Confederate flag. And I,
unfortunately,
it fucking sucks. Yeah.
I want to pause on that. The shape of the Confederate flag, which is just
a
rectangle.
Flag. It's a flag.
Yeah, just a rectangle.
But it's the cross. It's the raisins are the cross of it.
The raisins are in. Okay.
That's why the raisins are in the shape of the Confederate flag.
Okay,
I backed
okay.
myself up. I knew what I was talking about.
No,
I planned
you were
ahead.
Right. Yeah, you were doing good. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being kind to me this day.
Mm.
Do you think that if we... I mean, the answer to this is so obvious. Do you think we can make, like, the perfect, like, hot, sexy alien? Not like biologically, but like we could.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think we could construct? And it, do we think we could design like the sexiest alien? Yeah. I do think that we could do this because we have the divine light inside of us where we are. We know that freak shit is attractive. Do I think that we will create the sexiest alien according to popular vote? No. But no. Do I think that we will be objectively correct? Yes.
Do you think that we would make... do you think we would make a bad pair when it comes to that? Or do you think our tastes are similar enough that we could...
No, I think our tastes are similar. I think our tastes are very similar. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I don't think... I see, because the thing is nobody thought that The Shape of Water fish was sexy till they saw the movie. But, and people, like, got it.
No, but the fish was sexy too. Like, the design of that fish was sexy. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. We're not making stuff like that. Yeah.
No. But that's, like, the Shape of Water fish is just... It's just a hot guy.
It's a guy. Like, it's a guy with fish.
It's just a hot
skin.
Guy with fins. Yeah.
That's,
like,
no, that's true. That's a bad. It's just, I just remember everyone saying, oh, this thing is such a freak. And then by the end of the movie being like, okay, yeah, he is sexy.
Yeah.
It's just like the needle moves one tick
the
toward
needle
us.
Moves,
and
yeah.
I think we will be the event horizon of
we'll
hot, sexy aliens, but we do need a couple of like great minds to like tick the needle toward us before people realize it.
Right, other people will come on board eventually, but
they
we will definitely be coming on board. They will, and but we will have been correct the whole time. Is what's happening? That's
yes.
The Shape of water analogy. Is that like we will have been correct the whole time?
Okay,
I think this is funny because I know everything about Robin. Robin and I know each other so well. I think one thing that's interesting is that I don't know what kind of porn Robin watches, but I feel like I know in my heart anyway. So like what I'm saying is like I like we don't actually know what kind of freak shit
each other
is attracted
into,
but
to.
We do in that our hearts are aligned. Yeah.
I think it would be pretty easy to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do good.
I think a big thing for me is I... Apologies for cutting you off.
Oh, no.
I think... So when it comes to, like, I've talked about this where, like, my dream kind of curse slash being turned into, a kind of magical creature, my dream for that is I turn into, a giant 6-foot talking wolf that stalks the forest.
Yeah.
I think I've told you this before.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like... sexy alien stuff, I would love to get like a symbiote. I'd love to be like a Venom.
I'd love to be
the alien. I think like that's kind of my like I think I would get more out of being it than I would
than being the person in love with the alien, the person seeking the alien.
Now this isn't to say I wouldn't be super into it, of course I would, but like I would also if it's like, oh, you could have one or the other, I'd be like, I'd like to be the alien.
I want to be the alien. Yeah. No, and I deeply don't. I don't want to be the alien. I don't want to be the supernatural thing. I just want to be the person that the supernatural thing trusts a lot.
Mm.
Let's touch their weird ghiblies. Yeah. That's
good. That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
My guy in the chair syndrome is very specific. I want to help out solving your supernatural mysteries.
Yeah.
And touch
but
the
you
want to
squeeze their weird ghiblies like
touch the
a stress ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever they are.
Yeah. Whatever. Wherever.
Wherever.
However they are.
Yeah. Shakira. Shakira.
And their breasts are mountains.
And they are. I'm sorry. She says they're small and humble. Don't confuse them with
mountains. Yeah. It's still such a crazy line. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so fun. I really love it.
Oh, Shakira, you lyricist.
You crazy. Oh, God. We talk a lot about music on this show. I like it.
We do.
It's fun. What did we talk about last week? Weezer.
And?
The other one.
Weetus.
Weetus and Weezer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. What are we doing here?
Hi, my name is Dylan, and I've played 3 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've also played 3 Mass Effect games.
We are playing Mass Effect Andromeda, and this is Dork Spawn, a podcast where we play choice-heavy video games, and we discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club. We played Mass Effect Andromeda starting with, starting with the AVP cryo.
Which is a single conversation.
Which I realized that I already did last week because I was just doing conversations all over the ship. So, like, whatever.
That's fine. That's
it's just
fine.
A conversation.
Neither of us have played this game. This is so... We are feeling this out as we go.
We're feeling this out.
This is arguably the most we're feeling this out as we go that we have done on this show so far.
Yeah.
And then we did...
A Trail of Hope.
Part of A Trail of Hope 1.
Right.
I haven't finished A Trail of Hope because, according to this, this is also the problem with playing a non-popular game. The chapter list is so hard. Like, the mission walkthrough list is really hard to pass.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you go and, like, look up, like, Mass Effect 3 chapters, there's a million different recommendation
it's just
threads
like, it
about,
really
like, what...
really lays it out of what you need to do. Same with the Dragon Ages.
Same with Dragon Age. Yeah. A million people have shared their opinions on what order to do the Dragon Age Origins quest in.
So we did part of A Trail of Hope 1 and then helping Havarl's scientists.
Yes.
Can I get a gut check on how you're feeling about this game so far?
Okay. So I think less bad than you, but I do still have some... Okay, it's kind of, you know what, I am not feeling terribly too much different than when we spoke last week, which is that I am really enjoying, like, all of the conversations, maybe not all of, but a lot of the conversations in this game, a lot of the, like, interpersonal stuff on this, in this game, like, the stuff, so, like, in this part... We are now, like, meeting a brand new alien race. We're landing on a new planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all that kind of stuff is really interesting and cool. The main missions are not thrilling me. Are really not grabbing me. And so I'm finding myself kind of feeling like I am... like meandering through the quests themselves a little bit. So I'm like, it's kind of not that different than how I felt last week where I was just like, man, I feel like the bigger parts of the game are less interesting than the smaller parts of the game.
Yeah. I will admit that this game has found me in a bad time. I was so stupid ill last week, and I've also, I'm still ill in something that my boss was like, hey, it's worrying that you've been ill for this long.
Well, because he's never seen you ill, because you never get ill, so it's like...
I know, but I've been ill for a full, like, almost over 2 weeks at this point, and it sucks. So, doing... the uninteresting stuff in this game, which I find to be quite a lot, really pisses me off. It's just like kind of a thing where I'm like rolling around and the only thing on my mind is I would rather be doing literally anything else right now.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that it's bad. I do still hold the opinion in my heart and my mind that they introduce an interesting thing, and then the writing in this game has a horrendously chronic problem where it introduces something and then decides to do the least interesting thing with it every single time they present something in this game. And it's we've only just started. It is immediately grating on me. Like, it's really getting me down.
Yeah.
To the point where now it's like, I don't know why I'm going to even try to listen to people. I've started just skipping dialogue with like smaller characters, because it's like, I just don't care what you have. Like, I read like the first sentence and then I don't let the voice line end, like naturally end or finish, I guess. I just skip it.
No, I know what you mean. I am giving it every chance that I can. So I'm like, I'm going through all the dialogue. I'm doing absolutely everything. Hmm. Because I really want to, especially because, and I guess I felt this with Veilguard, which I am not comparing this game to Veilguard, I will say. That's not happening here. But with Veilguard, because I was not, like, I really still wanted to get the most out of it as possible, I did absolutely every single thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of doing the same thing here. And I do feel good about that. I do feel like I am getting some of the juice.
I just feel
like I'm getting juice in places that are small and not from the big story yet, isn't to say that we won't.
I also appreciate that it's like my lack of enjoyment is and will continue to snowball if I don't give it time. And I know this. And I will, I will start to do that. I think that.
Well, you've also, you know, you've been a trooper, but okay. So no, and I truly mean that, because I agree with you in a lot of this. But like, okay, so this is kind of an interesting start. So we are. Mm-hmm. We go into a new galaxy where the Pathfinder thinks there may be some planets we can investigate. That, like, so we go investigating, and immediately upon warp driving, or like, I don't know if we're like warp driving or going into a wormhole or whatever it is. Immediately upon doing that, we're apprehended by Kett ships, and they are asking for our father, essentially. They're asking for the one that activated the thing. Remnant tech. And they've taken control of our ship. And we're kind of like trying to, I mean, my shepherd, not my shepherd, sorry, what? My rider, I know, my rider tried to like play ball with them a little bit. Nothing really was working. And then it's like, what happens? We get away because
Sam retakes control, and our pilot, our pilot's name, Kett, is it begin with K? Kello. Then like flies through like a hard, like, you know, navigates in a way that they can't follow us anymore.
I found this a little bit like, I almost found like it was a little bit of a tease of a bit, because it was sort of like, they took control of the ship. They have us. It's like this really intense moment. And then it was like in the blink of an eye, we were out of it. And I was just oh, man, I kind of like wanted to live in that conflict a little bit more. Even if it was just more like, even if it wasn't like a whole like fight or battle or anything like that. Like, even if it was just Ryder versus this other captain having like a
conversation,
a verbal back and forth more. Like, if they just let that sit for like a little bit before Sam took over, I think that would have been cool. But Sam takes over. We get away. And then we escape to this planet with like extremely modern looking tech. Like they've got like a city with like high tech. It like looks like the Citadel, essentially. It's like got very like that nice glass futuristic.
It's beautiful. It's very pretty.
I do like it a lot. It's pretty. Yeah. It's gorgeous. And here is where we are meeting the new race. The new alien race that has not been in Mass Effect before. And they are cool. They're called the Angara, and they are very beautiful.
Yeah, they're cool. They are very beautiful. Fun fish people.
One little thing. Are they fish?
I don't think they're fish, actually. I'm going to take that back.
Lizardy, maybe? Froggy.
Can we do a frog?
Can we do frog?
How do you feel about frog?
They're cold-blooded for sure.
For sure.
For sure. Anyway, they're hot. We'll say you get off the ship, Shepard. Oh my god, I did it again. Ryder gets off.
Oh, apparently they're warm-blooded. It's actually confirmed canon that they're warm-blooded.
They're warm-blooded? That's so funny.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, so not Serpentine. Ryder decides to go and meet them alone at first and, like, you know, fights off the rest of the crew and is like, no, they want to meet me alone. I'm going to meet them alone. You get off the ship, and in the chorus of voices that greet you from the Angara, I will say that Cassandra Pantagast is in there. Not as, like, a character that I have found, like, is having a character role, but in the chorus of voices, I could pick her out in a fucking
that's
lineup.
That's crazy.
I was like, that's Cassandra Pendergast. She said hello to me. I know that voice. So they take you to meet like some of their leadership to suss you out essentially and see if you're trustworthy. What they reveal to you is that they have had dealings with the Ket, where the Ket, they've been dealing with the Ket for years.
Decades.
To the point where the Ket actually like went out of their way to make them believe they were allies, got their trust, like did trade with them and stuff like that. And then it was all revealed that the Ket were just after their resources, their planets, and turned on them.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, they have this kind of collective trauma where they're like, you can say whatever you want to us. We are simply not going to believe you until you prove it with your actions. We need to see you, like, actually
they've been hurt before. Shit for us. They're not going to take it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we meet a few people, but we meet Jahl, who is so hot, so sexy.
Yeah, it's annoying because if I wasn't playing this with Dylan, I would be romancing Jahl like immediately. But unfortunately, I know that it has been claimed I can't also do that because then we're just playing the same story. It's a shame.
Oh my god. I'm going to love him. I'm going to teach him how to love. Jahl is interesting because Jahl is like a very like kind of rigid character, like very much like everyone else you're meeting here in leadership is very like timid and worried and afraid of outsiders and stuff like that. But Jahl is the one that's like, we should give you a chance. We should hear you out. We should at least see what you're about, which is obviously so hot. And so there is like, so we explore this little, like this small city here. And then once you gain their trust, which is funny, as you're walking through, like they are guarding you and they're like, don't move. Don't like you follow this path and you don't do anything. And I just like saw all these really cool plants and Sam was commenting on them and was like, there is such great, like interesting wildlife here that we've never seen before. And so I opened my scanner and a million laser pointers immediately pointed at me and they were like, turn it off now.
That's so and fun.
I thought that was cool.
I like that.
And
that
I was like,
good.
You got it. Yeah, no. In fact, Ryder says, it's just a scanner. They said, don't care. Turn it off now. And there are like all of these lasers pointed
that's
exactly
actually sick.
At you.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool.
That's good, actually.
So you go, you talk to their general, and along with Jahl, kind of like convinces the general that you should be allowed to help. And it turns out that stuff is not great. One thing about the Angara is that in addition to having this backstory where the Kett and them have been in conflict now for a long time, the Angara also are a species that don't have a singular home planet, nor do they have like a singular culture. They have like multiple planets with a very widespread, like, very, very differing culture among them, which is interesting. I would love to see that. It right now feels a little bit like a reason why people have different accents, because that's when you hear,
but you know
hear it
what?
For the first time.
Yeah, I do like that though. I like because the thing which a lot of sci-fi hits on, and Mass Effect has done a billion times, is it's like humans have all these different things, obviously, because we know it because we're humans. But a lot alien races are like, they all believe in this one thing. this is what they all sound like. So I do like the fact that
me too.
This one is like, oh, there's a bunch of different religions and there's a bunch of different cultures. Admittedly, all of the religions are weird because they're all like, yes, we all believe in the cycle of rebirth and reincarnation. It's like, okay, so there's okay, but you shouldn't though. If there's a billion different religions, you shouldn't be all thinking the same thing. But I like the different accents thing. I think that's fun.
Yeah, me too. I just want to see a little bit more of that. I want to see, like, I hope we do get some, like, you meet Angara on different planets. I want them to have, like, different practices, cultures, like things like that. I think that'd be cool. But it is fun that it's presented to you because you meet someone on this planet who talks very differently than Jahl and the commander do, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. You talk different. And they're like, I'm from a different planet. And it's like, that on Earth, we don't have to be from different planets to have different accents. People have like not even people have different accents like states away. but very fun. I like the idea of that. I hope we get to see more of that. Oh my God. So they tell us that things are a mess. Sorry. They tell us that things are a mess. Not only are they in conflict with the Kett, but like the Kett have like kidnapped bunches of them. They're kidnapping them, putting them in literal camps. they have supply ships going missing. They have all these outposts on various planets that are struggling. And one planet in particular is really struggling. They have their forces are dwindling, and so they're like, if you can help us turn the tide on this, then maybe you are trustworthy, kind of is the game there. We're into it. One thing that happens in this kind of like overall exchange is that when you meet the general, they ask you like what you want out of this relationship, like what you want here. And what's interesting is when you're landing here, Ryder sees that there is a vault like the one you saw on the previous planet. And Ryder makes a comment that you don't have a choice in, where it's like, we need that vault.
Yeah.
And then when you land, Jahl is kind of like, what's your intentions with us? And you have an option to say like, we need that vault. But I was like, I'm like, I don't get what Kanan Rider is the thing. So I am just like, no, this is a scientist. This is a misguided, overambitious scientist. So mine said that, like, we came here to exchange knowledge. Uh-huh. We want to exchange knowledge. But I thought it was funny because you say that, and I don't know what happens if you pick the other options, but you say that, and Jal clearly does not believe you. Like, clearly is just like, sure, fine.
Yeah.
And so
I was
like,
honest with it, and I was like,
you were.
Is what we're after, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, Ryder feels a little bit like they kind of suck right now. And that's fine, because I feel like I got to kick them on a journey.
Yeah.
Interesting thing here. In the tradition of Dylan taking poor notes, I know I wrote this down because some character says this word in a funny way. I can no longer remember how they said it, and I don't remember the context, and I didn't write it the context. But I wrote the word Milky Way with a lot of capitals and big spacings, because there is a character that says, I think it's Jal. I think Jal says Milky Way in a funny way. Anyway, good. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, please help
please
me.
Please hit me up. I'm Googling it. I will never be able to find this.
No.
Yeah. but yes. And then Jal joins you in this because it's like, no. On my perspective anyway, was like, no, well, we're not going to give you the vault because we also need it. But they can't get into it. Oh, no, they can't get into it is the big thing. But you having the Pathfinder knowledge is like, well, I can get into it.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to do that. And then you're like, okay, I'll prove to you that we, you know, can be trusted. And then Jal joins you on this so there are problems here. There are problems here. Everything is going wrong in all these different places. Havaral is where they originally send you to go, but then also give you a bunch of other problems to go solve.
Right, because there's two planets they tell you. I forget the name of the other one, but there's two planets, two worlds where they're in trouble.
Yeah,
Havaral is the first one.
Because there's a lot of people captured by the Kett. There's a resistance group because the Kett are attacking them. This is all fun. This is a fun, good setup. I like it. I really love the planet. I like this species a lot, this alien species. I think they're really fun. I think there's not enough different from any of the others that we've seen, except for, you know, look. And they do look different, and I think that's cool. Jal is really a cool character.
Yeah.
You get back on the ship and then, you know, your whole team is discussing stuff and Jal is sat down because he has nothing to say. And everyone's arguing about what they need to do. And you're like, well, let's have him speak. And then he stands up and then does this. We need to save all our people.
I know.
He's
good. He's good.
Is great. I think he's really fun. If I can be controversial.
Please.
I think this game would have been better if you are Jal and the Nexus ship comes into your galaxy and that's how all of the Mass Effect groups are met.
Oh my god.
And then you are him. You're the person taking your whole home situation back. You're in the resistance, like you do some opening tutorial fighting stuff, you're introduced to this fun alien race in the Andromeda Galaxy. And then, oh, hey, like four different giant vessels have entered our galaxy. And then that's how you meet the Pathfinders and the humans and the Asari and all this stuff. And it just connects.
You just upset me so much because that's such a great idea. That's such a great idea. Oh, my God. That would feel so good.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because the thing is this is the most interesting this game is, but they're still not interested in talking about it, really, or, like, investigating what this species are and does, or, you know, you can't... I mean, at the minute, admittedly, you can't look around their planet a bunch. This isn't their home planet. Their home planet has been fully taken over by the Ket, I think, as has most, you know, then there's a bunch of resistance pocket movements. The Ket have kind of been reduced to just kind of villains.
They're
rather
just
than
kind
what
of
I
villains
was really
so
excited
far.
About is they're just people. Because I wanted, now, admittedly, last week I was complaining about how this is just Mass Effect 1 again. And my pitch of Ket just trying to, like, fight for their own, like, home planet and stuff is just the Geth storyline. But the Geth storyline is one of my favorite bits of the Mass Effect franchise. I think it's so good. But then this is just kind of, they're just kind of evil villain.
They're just kind of evil villain so far.
It's just kind of dull.
I would love to get more information that proves
otherwise, like,
yeah.
This group, this race is fun. There's a really cool handshake moment when Jarl joins you that I think is really...
Yes!
When, like, you stick out your hand and then they put the back of their hand behind yours, and then you move your hand and then they move theirs. They kind of force you into what a Angoran handshake is, which I think is really cute.
Really cute.
Yeah, I really like it. Anyway, and then you get an achievement that your team is full. Like, this is the team. This is the Pathfinder crew, which is fun.
Very fun.
I'm not crazy attached to anyone, kind of except for Jarl. I think Jarl's really fun.
There's
Vetra, Liam.
I like Vetra a lot. I like Liam a lot.
I like Liam. I think Liam needs I need Liam to do just the smallest bit more.
Have you had a beer with him yet?
I have, and it was nice.
I like that. I think he's cool. I think talking to him is good. I know you didn't get to talk to everybody a lot last time, but I've been talking to everybody.
I did,
like,
talk to everyone this time, though.
You did? Okay, good.
I talked to him a lot. He had a really fun comment, which is, like, everyone keeps arguing around the ship because tensions are high, which I think is really fun. I would love to see it a little more. Because I do think that this would be a fun dynamic of, like, everyone is arguing because, you know, everyone has different, like, species needs. And, you know, this team isn't a team of friends. This is, like,
right, we haven't been together for years.
Was.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, it's like, it's world-ending stakes, but everyone's like, yeah, I'm trying to do this for me and my people, because my people also need to survive.
So I agree with you. I will say, though, that, and I don't know if this is a difference between, because I am going back to the ship a lot.
Sure.
And that is because I am dying a lot. So I've been struggling on this world, on Vold specifically, because Vold, the first planet that they ask you to go to, is like a wintry ice nightmare.
Fun. I don't think I went here. Because I think, is this for the Meet the Resistance mission?
This is the first part of Trail of Hope.
Winter?
Yeah. Wow. It's like an ice planet. And, okay.
Which is good and fine, and this is good and fine.
This is good and fine. So this is like an ice planet where you need to, like, find the resistance base and all the people that are getting kidnapped and stuff like that, you know. But it's so icy that you cannot... So I'm not dying because of enemies. I'm dying because, like, my life support is running to zero because you have to get to safe zones where there is heat and they're few and far between. Again, very much like Jaws of Hakon, Dragon Age. It's except Except I would say like 10 times more survivalist than this. There's like you're running for miles before you sure. hit another safe
or
point.
Or driving a like, car. Can you drive a car in this?
Eventually you get the ability to drive a car, but there is a large part in the beginning where you are just on foot.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
In this realm. And so I was like, there were a couple parts where I had to run back to the ship because I couldn't find the next thing. And I was like, fuck, I'm dead.
That's pretty fun. I like that.
Of course, once you get the nomad drop spot, which is after you meet like the refugees, and you earn their trust and you tell them, you find out intel about where the different, like where the labor camp is and where, like certain other things are, then they trust you enough to let you drop a nomad point and then you can have your car and then you're good. But then even in the nomad, you're driving across ice a lot, like so you can't like go top speed in a lot of places. There are also dinosaurs here.
Love. Fun.
Yeah. I know that's not what they are. I'm sure they have a name. But there are tiny little raptors walking around. fun stuff. So you basically have to go and rescue some refugees from different places. You have to investigate some more, like, remnant sites. You have some memory stuff to unlock. Of course, there are little things all over the place to do, and then you get back, and then you meet. The two of the things that happen there is at the base, you get to meet the scientists. That are like, here's what we're looking for. And I think that's the help the, oh no, I guess Havaros is the planet you went to. Is that
Havarl.
Right?
Havarl. I went to Havarl. Yeah.
Okay.
Havarl is there.
Yeah.
No, you go.
I was going to say, cause there are a couple of scientists you help out on Vold as well, but I thought that
there are
the same
two
thing
places that you can go to, either Vold or Havarl, and both of us went to the different.
We
one.
Went to the different places. Okay, well, yeah. Tell me about Havarl.
Hey, campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 Gems in a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice green. Natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of 3 childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Havarl is and I'm going to give the game huge credit, an absolutely stunningly beautiful planet. It is like giant, very deep, deep tropical jungle with weird alien plant life and stuff like that. You drop in. You find a fairly destroyed base with people still working there. A bunch of scientists found a monolith and whilst activating it, got trapped in like stasis. And they're like... This planet is so dangerous to walk around on because of the dinosaurs, which there are also on this planet. Not like proper dinosaurs, but like things that might as well be.
Yeah.
And they're like, go find it. And you go, you find it. They don't realize that time has passed at all when you free all these people. There's a bunch of remnants that you fight through. There's some cat that you fight through.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then when you turn them all off and you awake them, They then talk about how the Turian arc, how they were jumped by a bunch of Turians, or people that look like her, quote unquote. They obviously don't know the name for Turians, but I was carrying Betra with me. And they were like, oh, a bunch of people that look like her jumped us, like earlier. And I was like, oh, fascinating. And then you go to meet these Turians and you help these Turians fight. And they are all looking for their Pathfinder, because their version of Sam, there's like a command, their commanding officer is like, oh, the version of Sam that we have hasn't gone to me. So I know that our Pathfinder is alive. We just don't know where he is. And also, our Turian arc is somewhere and we need to try to locate it. So then you get a mission to try to locate the Turian arc, which I think is really fun. I think that's a good, cool thing. I honestly would take this game just being find all the other arcs. And that's kind of the main thing of the game.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't find that yet. That's cool.
Yeah, it's neat. I like it a lot. I do. I think that's a really fun little hook. Especially with all the other Pathfinders, because I was wondering why am I the only one? But it's only because we're the only one who has either survived or, you know, is right. knocking around. Because no one knows where the other arcs are, which I still think is fun.
Yeah, I think that's fun too. Yeah, and that's cool. Crazy because I haven't found anything related to that yet. So that's fun. And I was wondering, cool. like, why? But now it makes sense because we both went to two different planets.
Yeah. But yeah, and then we find that. And then we fight more Ket and Remnants. And outside of that, that's all my thing is. But I do really like this planet. I think it's cool.
So excited.
Yeah, it's neat. It's very... there's a lot to do on this planet. Like, it's one of those things where I did one mission and then it was like, here's 15 more. Like, go find this tech that's on. Oh, the reason why I came here first is because whilst I was speaking to someone on the other planet with the Angarans, they're like, one woman was like, oh, a bunch of my research has been lost on Havaral. And I was oh, fantastic. And then I went to Havaral and then I helped her find all that, which is why I went here first, I think. Yeah. Or why I thought, oh, the place you go is Havaral. But then it's like I helped her with that and then I found the Turian arc. And then I started helping find the Turian arc and all this other stuff that I think is cool and neat. A thing which I do like in this game, which is another thing that Dragon Age Inquisition did really well, is I do like kind of wandering around with people because they talk a lot. They don't talk as much as I need them to talk.
No, but they are talking way more than in the original trilogy of Mass Effect.
Which is good.
The banter
is fun.
Way more, and it's so fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I find speaking to the characters not really giving me a lot of interesting things. I think hearing them talk is more interesting. I might see if there's one of the mods that you have for Inquisition, which is it just ramps up the amount people talk. Because I think I need that personally. I need them to chat more. There is stuff here, and again, it's just because I've been in one of those ill moods for the past few weeks where anything that I'm not like actively very excited about just kind of pisses me off.
No, I get it.
So
And also don't feel invalidated. This is like, this is not.
I know, but I also don't want people that are approaching this and being like, oh, I really love this game. I don't want to be like, oh, your game isn't very good.
No.
It's like, I know that I'm not giving it the time of day yet. And we're going to keep doing
bag.
It. I am going to be, I'm flying for like 6 hours tomorrow. I will be playing it pretty much the whole time.
So this is not like this is a bad game. This is kind of a mixed bag with like some complaints. And I get it.
And the thing is that there's a lot to like. There's a thing which I thought was really funny. I was talking to Liam and he was like, yeah, everyone keeps arguing on the ship. Tensions are really high. Do you know what would be really good to relieve tension? A movie night. And I was like, Liam, a movie night has never relieved tension. That is the worst tension relieving activity because you're just kind of sitting there
in
stewing
silence,
and watching something.
Stewing in your tension.
That doesn't work. I've
Do
never
you know what
had...
would have been great? A game night. But
a
they,
game
but
night
it's
would have been
sci-fi
really good.
And they can't suggest a card game because that would just be Dragon Age Inquisition where we have a
we should have a holodeck. They should have set they should have given us a holodeck so we can go onto it and do like
VR
fights. VR
let's,
fights.
Let's have
stuff.
A VR game night.
It,
that'll get us
a holodeck is the sci-fi thing.
Also, game. I'm sorry. Could you not have sci-fi karaoke? Would sci-fi karaoke not be good enough for you fucking people? Okay, could you not just give me these characters singing badly? Because I would hear it. That will relieve tension.
And for anyone who the thought might have crossed your mind of like, oh, but karaoke wouldn't be fun in a video game setting, play any Yakuza game because karaoke is a big part of that game and it fucking owns every time. I don't know. It's a lot of things I'm like, this is interesting. Can I, in a really weird way, can I not have the game part of this video game? Because I is it fun to perfectly sniper shot someone and then, oh, you killed someone with a sniper rifle. The cooldown of your reload is now like 50% faster, and you do more damage for the next 8 seconds. Yeah, that's cool.
Mechanically,
it's just kind of numbers.
Fun.
But it gets really boring really fast. It's like just, which is also something maybe Mass Effect. It's the problem with Mass Effect, the mainline series. I was just playing the world's funnest class, where I was teleporting into people.
Here's my thought on this. I feel like I'm having more fun with the combat, like directly engaging with it than I did in the original trilogy. But I felt like what I so enjoyed, and this is like coming from the perspective of somebody who's not great at video game combat. Mm-hmm. So like this is going to color my opinion in whatever kind of way. The thing that made Mass Effect original trilogy, just about all three games, feel good to me, as even though I hate first person shooters and these are first person shooter games, is that I said this so many times throughout our recordings, I felt like the ratio of combat to story was always really strong. Like, I knew I could get through a combat because the second I was through with a combat, I was going to get fed. Like, I was going to get fed, like a great story beat, a cutscene, and it was always going to feel worth it. Like, I never felt like I was doing combat to get through combat. And because this has the open world aspect, it's not on that same rail. There are times where I finish combat and the most that I get is I get to go loot the bodies after, which is
something
that I'm used to in Dragon Age games. But like in Dragon Age, it's fantasy combat. That's more like comfortable for me. This is I'm sort of like, OK, I'm doing first person shooting and then it's over and then I have to go loot some boxes and then go do more first person shooting. I'm hunting for the story. Whereas the original trilogy, I felt like every time I finished a fight, and sometimes multiple times within that fight, the game would pause the fight to tell me juicy shit. I was able to like get past my distaste for a first person shooter. Because I was just always being well
there
fed.
There was stuff happening. Yeah. I agree with that. I also, I don't know if I'm valid about this, but I do feel like there's a weird narrative shift in simply because we're doing combat in a different genre. That feels like it just doesn't, it feels weird to me. Like, for some reason, doing combat in a sci-fi game feels like feels weirder than doing combat in a fantasy game. And I don't know what that is. In a fantasy game, you're fighting ghosts. You're fighting ghosts and, like, evil demons. Whoa. You're fighting Darkspawn. Whoa. In this, you're fighting kind of people.
People. Like, yeah. And the people, you're right, because, well, what's interesting about that, and this is actually gonna bring us back to one of our criticisms of where Dragon Age failed, is that, like, one of the more interesting things that Dragon Age did that they then gave up on was to seed the thought that the Darkspawn weren't just mindless just feral monsters. And that maybe there was something else there. And we know that they had plans to continue that thread and let us contend with that. And they cowered it away from it. Yeah. But, like,
I need this show to get popular enough so we can get David Gator on the show so I could be like, so talk to me about this.
Talk to me. But talk like, it's great. It's great, especially for a first game, to be like, oh, yeah, your enemies are this mindless evil in a fantasy game. Yeah,
The Geth.
Like the Geth. Yeah, they're a mindless evil that just attack you for no reason. There's nothing you can do but kill them. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Now let's.
Now they're
actual things. Now let's play with that. Now let's play with what we've made you think and how could that and how could you have ever thought that that was actually true?
I know,
fucking idiot.
And it's
like
weird
because, you know,
I want the thing is because I also get like this with people having this exact opinion that I'm talking about. Gang, it's a video game. Sometimes you just got to get through stuff and you got to be like, yep, it's a video game. Obviously, you're shooting people. And I do get that. But there was a weird bit on Havarl. There is a bit where Jarl was like, oh, by the way, there's a group of Angorans who will shoot to kill you because they hate all aliens.
Yes.
There's nothing
you can
do.
Oh, I met them. They're also holed up on Vold as well.
Sure.
Yeah, and like, there's a group of them on Vold.
You're just giving... Yeah, like, and I appreciate you saying that because you've made some enemies that you want me to shoot at and kill. That's fine. It's whatever. You want me to shoot and kill Angorans. I feel weird about doing it.
Yeah.
Call me too woke, but I feel like just dropping onto a planet and then killing the
and then just
fucking
killing
species that lives there is kind of weird.
Right.
And I'm going to say this because there's another thing. That is me. I say this because my mind is looking for criticisms. I would not have this opinion if I was like, this is the best game ever. I would have that opinion less. And I do appreciate that it's coming from a bit of an overly negative place, but still.
I just
needed to catch it.
I just think like, I think the thing is that we feel, at least for me, we feel like we're missing a little bit of something from the main story so far. Like I'm not really being fed from the main story. And so things that I normally can overlook as like, that's video game storytelling. I can get over if the main story is really grabbing me. But right now, the main story isn't. So all this like little side stuff is really where my brain is focusing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm being nitpicky.
You are correct. It is mainly that. And I mentioned this briefly, and we've talked about it on the phone a bit as well. I mentioned it briefly at the beginning. The game story keeps giving me stuff that I'm really interested in and then refuses to expand on or do it. Just do it at all. It just immediately moves on. It's like, why weren't the Ket shooting us immediately when we first landed on the planet in the tutorial?
Right.
And then our rider was so constantly being like, well, if an alien landed on our planet, armed to the teeth, we would also shoot them.
Now it's just like, no, they're just evil.
They interact with us and it's like, oh, they're just evil. We spoke to the Angorans and they're like, oh, yeah, they're just kind of evil. We've been at war with them for decades. They tricked us by pretending that we're good. that they were good and trading with us, and then they decided to destroy all our shit.
And here's my thing. Maybe we're wrong, because again, they did hold our ship and they did stop us, and they wanted to pull Ryder on board to talk about opening the thing.
Yeah.
And so maybe
there is a pretty high chance that it still is that.
Right. Yeah. Maybe there is a thing. It's just that, like, in, and this is, you know, this is another thing where it's like, this is maybe just kind of meh video game-ness, but yeah. Like, we are not, like, in the gameplay of this, we're not getting any of that. It's kind of like, oh no, they just, they, because the thing is that they've been killing the Angara for years. So, like, how am I supposed to be like, oh, they were just wanted to talk? Nah, it looks like they've been killing the Angara for putting ages, them in labor
and they
camps.
Just kind of,
sounds like they're fucking Nazis. So, like, I don't
sounds
really like
they're really evil.
But I'm interested to see, like, if there was an end to that conversation that will be juicier than what I expect it to redeem them, but maybe it
no.
will be juicier.
And I don't need it to.
I don't need it to do that. No.
But there's just lots of very minor things. We got stopped by the Ket. Our ship got grabbed. Do you know what's more interesting than Sam overriding the controls and us leaving? Us being forced aboard the ship.
Oh, is so much
more interesting. You go. What's
oh, up? I was going to say, or even Sam struggling to take the ship back. And so we are stuck delaying conversation for, like, in a thing that has an aspect of failure, or like the chance for us to give our position away, or like stuff like that. There could have just been a verbal combat there where, like, Ryder is trying to delay, and in your choices of conversation, maybe you successfully delay conversation, but in doing so, you give away secrets. Yeah. Or maybe you're super successful and you make them intrigued and entrusted to you, and then we get away. Like, maybe something like that. Like, there could be, it doesn't have to be that they take us on board, but let us live in that conflict a little bit more.
That it's really my main criticism is, you have all these interesting things, just let us do the interesting stuff just for a bit, just for a little bit longer than we are. I really don't like any of the open world stuff. I way rather curated levels, like even in open world-ish games, like having a Dragon Age 2 is a God, to bring back my beautiful, beautiful baby husband. Dragon Age 2 is a quote unquote open world game with curated, like, quests, because you're
stop.
No,
Dragon
it is
Age
because
2?
Because it's on a small level, like, it's in a small level, but you get, like, this is what you're doing when you go to there, rather than this giant open world thing that is like, okay, you're going to this side of the map and you're doing two things and then you're hoofing it all the way back to this other end. And the only thing, and it's like, does Dragon Age 2 have a billion problems with its gameplay design? Yes. Myriad of problems being, you go to this zone, here's 100 billion guys to kill for the next 30 to 40 minutes.
The population of the world, actually in Dragon Age 2, it's actually morally correct to kill people because of overpopulation. It's sort of like deer.
It's like people hunting deer.
It's like deer or oysters or lantern flies. It's sort of like there's so many.
It's good to kill
that
them.
You actually have to. The amount of bandits raiding the streets of Kirkwall, it's like, just, where are they all?
Because it's crazy, because people will be like, correctly, they'll be like, they'll have your reaction of like, well, the Dragon Age 2 isn't curated. There's a huge amount of dog shit nonsense that you have to do in Dragon Age 2. And it's like, yes, I do agree, but for some reason, it feels different. The writing is so good.
The writing is so fucking good. The writing is so good. That's what it is. The writing's so good.
You're doing things over and over again with the same people. And yeah. I feel like in that time, you're making decisions. And you're doing stuff. Like, your hawk is growing and learning and doing things. Inquisition, in my opinion, does have a very similar problem to this.
Yeah,
lot of things you're just kind of, like, floating through. But the reason why Inquisition gets a pass is because Inquisition has exceedingly curated little bits.
Right. The missions like levels. are so well done.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff which is flavorful and neat.
Yeah.
The squad thing in Andromeda sucks. Not the war table thing. It's teams. It's pointless. It doesn't feel good.
It's click a button.
And then it's like, hey, do you want to do this in multiplayer? And it's like, I don't care enough to do that. I'm so sorry.
And multiplayer doesn't work anymore.
So it's completely pointless to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's lots of stuff which is, I don't know. Things just, they just keep making the less interesting option. The one you have to do.
I'm with you. The thing is, I'm enjoying that. Here's what it is. I'm enjoying the, fun thing that I forgot to mention. The Tempest. I went back on the Tempest to have a break and found out the Tempest has too much weight. In fact, did I tell you about my pet?
No.
I have a pet.
Cute.
I brought a pet onto the Tempest. It's the cutest little guy. It reminds me of Verpal. It's a little fucking scrungly guy. and I brought him onto the thing, and I can pet him whenever I want. The other thing is that I was chatting with Suvi, and she was like, the Tempest has too much weight, and the weight that she said we were over is about the weight of a person. And so we were like, oh my God, maybe there's a stowaway. And then we go hunt through the ship to find the source of the weight, and we find it, and it's a like sculpture carved into the side of the interior of the ship by the architect of the ship.
Okay.
With like a message like from the architect kind of being like just kind of being like, we were here. Like,
cool. Sure.
And it was cute, but it was like, this whole like lead up to being like, oh my God, there's a stowaway on the ship, or like there's something on our ship. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just sort of like, oh, that's sweet, I guess. We're grown-ups on a spaceship. Like, I am like, oh, cool. No, it's sweet that she left a signature on the ship that puts us overweight and endangers all the lives of everyone here. I guess we'll keep it. Let's throw some of the bread off board. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Chuck it. it was an interesting thing because I was like, you know, I love a cute thing. Like I just said, I got my own little Verpal on the ship.
You're a little rat.
That's adorable. That shit's cute. But like this whole like, oh, there's a mystery. Oh, it's the artist who made the ship left a signature. Like, I was just like, oh man, okay, well, like, I just feel like there could have been something to that. You just kind of teased me with like a bit of story and then just didn't deliver.
Yeah, and the bit of story could have been, we can't have you on this ship because if we get jumped then something bad's gonna happen. Do we leave you on this planet? Or, you know, do we, like, fully abandon you, drop you off, or do we try to find a way to have you stay on board and stuff like that, yeah?
Right. But what I will say I am liking the banter. I am liking, I have, oh my God. Can you remind me?
Character Drac. Name?
Drac. Got it. Drac and,
Kesh?
No.
Nope.
Drac and Jahl have been my mainstays for the ice planet.
Of course.
The two of them yap constantly. Yeah? Oh, that's they are fun. In it with each other, and I love it. I'm having the best time listening to them talk. I'm having a great time. I actually love them both very much. I am going back to the ship very frequently, especially because there's a lot to do on this planet, and I expect there's a lot to do on the next one. So like I have been going back to the ship frequently, and I have been experiencing stuff where people are fighting, arguing, like before you walk into a room, before you like encounter them. So I'm getting a lot of that. I am getting like that the interpersonal stuff is being done really well. I'm feeling like there's cool stuff here. It's really, I'm just missing stuff from like the main story. I feel like the main story is not grabbing me, but I'm loving the interpersonal stuff, and little I'm loving that, Ryder, sucks. She just sucks. She's a Nepo baby, and she's like, she's a Nepo baby who really shouldn't be like people, like to the point where like at this point people are making comments about how like, you know, I'm like, okay, my writer hates Korra, but I'm kind of like, wow, man, Korra's right. Like I suck. Like Korra should have absolutely have been my father's predecessor. Like she trained with him for years. Because Korra's pissed at you. Korra's a dick to you, by the way.
Because she
trained with your father for years, and then he just gives the Pathfinder position to you. And like, yeah, in character, I'm like, fuck Korra. Me, Dylan, I'm like, yeah, no, you suck, Ryder. Like Korra should absolutely be the Pathfinder.
Yeah.
And like your father made a terrible militaristic decision to to just emotionally give this to you.
Well, it was to keep you alive, right? Like it had to be you.
No, he gave you his mask to keep you alive.
He gave you his mask to keep you alive, and then he decided to upload it.
But then he transferred Sam to you. That was an extra move.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It makes me feel like there is more going on, and I hope there is still. Again, we're very early doors.
Me too.
Part of me is like, yeah, this mission isn't to do what we're supposed to be doing. Like or do what we think we're doing. It's something else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and I know, again, I know I'm real, I know I'm real, being real negative about it. And I will.
No,
I'll give
I think
it more
we're
time
being. I think this is the thing. Is we have to. This is not a Veil Guard situation. We are not being. We. This is critical, not negative. This
okay.
is like this sure. is. We have some normal criticisms of this game. We do not.
Sure.
We
sure,
are
sure,
not.
Sure, sure.
like
I know. I just
there's
don't
a
like...
bar for negativity on this show, and Veil Guard hit it, and this is not where we're at.
but yeah, I'm. It is interesting, and they have a lot of. There is a lot going on, and I will grant it that. I wish there was a little less going on. There's like this missing arcs, which is interesting. There was the rebellions, which has interesting stuff. Like what's happening on the Nexus, finding the new planets. There's the Ket
recovering
and this
your
other
father's
war,
memories,
which I hate. I actively
yeah.
don't like it. I straight up
that
don't
is,
think it should
that
be
that is
again.
A part that I do not like.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm gonna do all of them. I'm gonna find them all.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
Yeah, it's a little tough. Yeah, there's stuff that I like, and there's some stuff that I'm like, this could use cutting or
streamlining of some kind.
Streamlining, expanded on a little bit. God, if it's open world, give me something, give me a way to get around, because the car is not available on Avaral because it's too dense. Like, the foliage is too dense.
With trees.
Which means that getting around is a tiny bit of a pain in the ass. Give me a teleport, baby. But, you know.
All right. I'm excited to see Havara, though.
It's a beautiful planet. I tell you what, I genuinely dropped into the planet and I was like, I audibly said, fuck, this is nice.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm excited.
I think it looks really pretty.
I think you're going to like the other one.
I probably will.
I think you're going to like it.
I think I'll maybe. A bit for me at the minute is that I'm playing on the PC, so I'm like, I'm sat here and I'm doing notes and all that.
Oh,
and
don't do that.
I think I should move it to the
TV
Steam Deck.
Game.
You play on the Steam Deck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And TV or Steam
because,
Deck.
Because
proper,
I'm flying out, yeah. I've downloaded everything onto the Steam Deck, so I will be playing it
on
that.
I agree.
Going forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So yes. Next week, can we commit to next week being a part two of
Trail of Hope?
Of Trail of Hope, because we'll each do the other planet. And then,
I'm wondering if, because there's a Trail of Hope 2, actively Trail of Hope 2, and I'm wondering if we just do everything and we get up to Trail of Hope 2. Because it's helping Havaral scientists. Meet the resistance on the front line, stage a rescue, which is four different missions which feel like smallish missions. A Trail of Hope 2.
Okay, we get to there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
I believe let me just look at this like opening bit of it. Okay, so I believe it starts with Ephra. It starts with meeting Ephra in the Tempest meeting room. So we do everything except for meeting him in the Tempest meeting room.
Okay.
So just do as many missions as you desire to in that time.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Love that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll say this as a positive. I thought it would annoy me. I do think it's cute that you have to do Sudoku every single time you
try to hack a thing. I love the Sudokus.
I don't like having to get the glyphs. I think that's kind of annoying.
Oh, I love that.
I do like doing the Sudoku.
Do like the glyphs.
Because the glyphs are stopping me doing Sudoku. So... I get annoyed at it.
No, I find the glyphs every time. I like that. I like any excuse to use my scanner. I like that. I like the scanner.
I think the scanner is fun.
Yeah.
I weirdly kind of wish you use the scanner more than you do.
I agree. Yeah.
But the thing is, I
use it all the time. So, like, there's stuff that the game doesn't alert you to that you can use it on, which is great. Mm-hmm. So I've scanned. I got my 100th item last week.
Cute.
Yeah.
I do scan a lot of stuff.
100 item achievement.
That's fun.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, I scan a bunch of things. I just... To me, there's kind of a weird amount that is not scannable.
Yes,
that
I
feel
do
like
agree.
Should be.
Yeah. Especially like now that we're on new planets, I'm kind of like, why isn't everything scannable here?
I know, right? And that's kind of it. It may be for me a there's a game called No Man's Sky, which is a similar kind of vibe to this, where you're going to new planets and doing all this stuff, but it's like there isn't a story to it. It's just a survival game, but you get a scanner and you can scan literally everything. And I just always think that that's very cute. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So next week we'll do everything up to a Trail of Hope 2.
That's right.
Which is a decent chunk of missions. And honestly, gang, I'm going to say this. A Trail of Hope 2 is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 missions before the end of the game. So we might be finishing this in like 2 weeks. Two, maybe 3 weeks. Like under a month, we might be closed out on this game, which I think is interesting.
Interesting. Well, yeah. We'll see.
We will see.
We'll update you. But join us if you're playing. This still isn't that far into the game, so if you're just starting, please.
It's
join
really
us in the Discord.
Not. Yeah.
This is doable. I'm really curious to hear what other people are thinking, because I feel like this is the biggest in our like community of a split between people who do really like this game and people who don't. And I feel like I'm kind of sitting somewhere in the middle. So I feel like where like we've had like games like Veilguard where like a vast majority of us all kind of felt the same in a negative way. And like Origins where a vast majority of us felt the same in a positive way. Like this is like the most mixed opinions.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear what everybody thinks. Obviously, please be nice to each other. And to us, pretty please. But if you have thoughts, I still really do want to hear them.
I am interested in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like very, very much. And then we'll see you next week with more Trail of Hope again, for this. And Robin, wait, I know I was just so nice to you guys, but actually, the truth is...
Well, you were nice to them because they're stupid babies and you need to talk
down to them.
Yeah, and you
have to, like, really coddle them.
It's like,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I really got to be fucking nice to these.
Because, you know, if you're listening to this, you are pathetic. And
yeah.
It's like, you're weak and kind of... And we do look down upon
cucks.
You.
Cucks.
You're getting friendship cucked over here. We're friend mogging you whilst you sit in your friendship cuck chair. And because the reason why you have to be treated by a little stupid baby is because there's one thing you don't know. And you know what? Honestly, make no mistake. This is a one-way trip.
This is a one-way trip. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games.